Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Turn around quickly, tell someone, bless you this Christmas. I love Christmas. I love the atmosphere. I even get fake snow, man, and throw it around. I love it. I love the jumpers. I must be getting old. You know, you go through a little teenage phase where it's not cool. Christmas ain't cool. Some of you, your teenage years have stretched into your 30s. Huh? But when you're young, Christmas is the coolest time of year, right? It's amazing. The atmosphere, the songs. I love the Christmas songs. I love the carols. You know, my favorite carol is Oh Holy Night. I wish I could sing so I could sing that one song. I love it. You know, and while shepherds washed their socks by night, all seated round the tub, the angel of the Lord came down and they began to scrub. How many of you know that sometimes we sing the songs and we don't get the words right? How many of you have ever done that? We have a misconception of Christmas. I even thought that there was a reindeer called Olive that messed up Rudolph's life. People used to say to me, what is this about Olive? What have you got against Olive, the reindeer? I said, Olive messed up Rudolph's life. They said, how? I said, you've sung the song. He says, Olive, the other reindeer, used to laugh and call him names. Olive, the other reindeer, used to laugh and call him names. They was like, no, don't say that. It's all of the other reindeers. But misconceptions. And then there was the misconception about things that Santa Claus was bringing. And this started when I was in Victory Outreach. Because my first Christmas in Victory Outreach, when I was in the home, it was a West Indian Christmas. And I come from traditional white guy Christmas. We get a turkey, we threaten it with seasoning. You're gonna get salt and peppered when you get out, man. It's a bit of gravy. The most we're gonna do is stuff that thing and then that's it. Then I had this West Indian Christmas and they was eating rice. I'm like, you can't have rice at Christmas. And then they sung the song, Santa Claus is Coming. You know that song? Santa Claus is coming. I'm doing it in my Michael Bublé voice. I watched him yesterday. He does this, man. Santa Claus is coming. I thought, is that how he says sounds like that, man? He has to pull these shapes. But Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. Chicken and rice. He's gone. But that's not what it says. But we have all these misconceptions. We have all the jokes, don't we? What's orange and sounds like a parrot? A carrot. What did Father Christmas have for breakfast? Ice Krispies. This is my favorite this year. Who's going to be cooking Christmas dinner in number 10 Downing Street this year? Theresa May. But sometimes we have these misconceptions and there's all of the hype. But instead of injecting more hype into Christmas, I want to inject a little bit of hope into Christmas. When Jesus was born, an angel appeared to some shepherds nearby and he told them in Luke 2, 10 and 11, he said, and this is something that you need to get a hold of this year. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. What a promise. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. And then he gives them the news. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Wow. That's good news. That's great joy when you understand this. See, you get the precept right, then you'll understand the concept, and then you won't have the misconceptions that get attached to all of this stuff. And I have come to love this time of year. But I understand that many don't like this time of year for lots of different, very valid reasons. Because it can be lonely. You can be away from family. You've got family and friends, you know, that are all over the world. Your family, your kids are gone. They're all over the world. Huh? It's just an answer to your prayers, probably, when they were teenagers. Huh? Can't wait for you to leave home. Now they're gone. Sometimes it can be painful. We have bad memories. I have memories of being banged up at Christmas, in a cell at Christmas. I have memories of having no drugs to help my addiction at Christmas. Running out of drugs on Christmas Day is a bad thing, man. That is horrible. And going around trying to score on Christmas Day, horrible thing. Huh? It can be expensive, depending on how many kids you got, or what your spouse is like. Hello. I heard a story of a man once. He went to get something for his wife. He went into a shop. There was perfume. There was jewelry. The assistant came up, very nice at Christmas, dressed as an elf. Came up, "Can I help you, sir? I want to get something for my wife for Christmas." She said, "Okay, how about this?" She brought out a beautiful necklace. He went, "Oh no, it's too expensive." She went, "Okay." She went and got a beautiful bracelet. She brought it out. "How's that, sir?" He went, "Oh no, too expensive." So she got some perfume. She brought out a big bottle of perfume. She said, "What about this, sir?" He went, "Oh no, too expensive. Have you got something smaller?" So she brought out a smaller bottle of perfume, showed it to him. And he said, "Oh no, too expensive." He said, "What I really want is something cheap. I want you to show me something cheap." So she pulled out a mirror and put it up in front of his face. Have a look at that. Man, maybe not, it can become expensive. Every December, my daughter's birthday is on the 6th, my wife's birthday is on the 17th, and then Jesus. So every December, it's kidney on eBay. Obviously, for the sake of filming or anything we're doing, obviously, I don't sell my kidney on eBay. That is a bad thing to do. Don't do it. Don't try it at home. But it can be expensive. It can be lonely. It can be painful. It can be disappointing. It can be pressurizing. But essentially, Christmas is about two things. It's about good news and good gifts. But we have to get the precept right, so we get the right concept, then we won't have the misconceptions. Huh? What is the good news? Well, the good news is that Jesus was born. The Bible tells us how he was born, why he was born, where he was born. And we need to know these things because they put a picture together that when we catch a hold of it, it changes your life. The reason why he was born is because mankind was on a downward spiral. It was on a backslide away from life and reality and goodness. It had been disconnected from the power of God, the life of God, from Adam all the way down to us. People went their own way, did their own thing. There is none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death, and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So Jesus had to come to pay the penalty to get us back out of darkness into the light, to get us disconnected from death and to connect us to life. That's why he had to come. And he had to be born through a virgin's womb with no earthly father, because sin gets passed down from the father's line. So he didn't have an earthly dad, so he was born without sin. He became perfect, spotless, sinless, so he could become the perfect sacrifice and the perfect payment. The good news is that Jesus was born. It tells us how he was born. He was born to that virgin. It tells us where he was born. This is a trip. Check this out. I found this out when I was living in Israel. I used to run the men's rehab home in Jerusalem, in Israel. And I was there for 9 months. And I was living there in Jerusalem. And we used to have our church service in the old city, just off the Via Dolorosa, in a place called the Jerusalem Church. And it was in the Arab section. And I used to, and the first place where we had our home was in a cottage in the Kidron Valley, in between the old city and the Mount of Olives. I could come out of my front door and I could see the Garden of Gethsemane just over there where the car park is of the Holiday Inn Hotel. And if I went out my back door, there was a little yard and there was a cliff like this wall. And at the bottom was a plaque, and it said St. Stephen's Mount. And traditionally, that's where they flung Stephen off, the first ever martyr, and then stoned him to death in my back garden. But when I was... That's heavy, huh? That's a selling point for a house, isn't it? First martyr was killed in my back garden. But I learned from these guys out there, these Jews that had become born again, that when Jesus was born, the virgin stuff, yeah, no problem. They got no problem with that. Where he was born, what trip? This shows you the perfect plan of God for your life. Because we know the nativity story, right? You know, the little kids come and, you know, there's always a little boy with one of his mum's tea towels wrapped around his head and a dressing gown, right? Or something out of a pound stretcher. One of them little, you know, with a little bendy shepherd's crook and all the rest of it. Mary, she's dressed up in a dressing gown, and she comes, little kid, with a cushion up her stomach and all the rest of it. And they come, and they've got a little baby doll, and they come on a little donkey, you know, and we sing the song, don't we? Little donkey, little donkey. And sometimes one of the little kids is a donkey, and everyone's there. And then you get all the other little kids, and they come out all dressed as sheep, and everyone goes, ah, oh, look. Right? And then they come and they knock on the door, don't they? And some grumpy little kid comes out and says, no, no room in here for you. Everyone goes, boo. They go to the next one. There's no room at the inn. Or, there's no room at the inn. And we think, boo, poor Jesus. You know, Mary and John, oh, wow. That's deep, man. That's dark. Go to the stable. And we're like, oh, wow, Jesus had to be born in a stable. Oh, poor thing. But it was the perfect plan of God. Watch this. I learned this. Trip me out. At the perfection of God's plan, right? There was a place outside Bethlehem that had been prophesied 700 years before the birth of Christ by the prophet Micah, that in the Tower of the Flock, in chapter 4, verse 8, Tower of the Flock, Migdaladia, that the Savior was going to come. And then also outside Bethlehem, narrowed it right down to Bethlehem, in and around the surrounding areas in the Tower of the Flock. The stable that he was born in was the Migdaladia. So what happened was, they were locked out of all of the rooms in the inn. They couldn't get in the Holiday Inn, Premier Lodge. The Lowry was shut. Marriott, no way, you ain't letting you in. Hilton, forget it. Booked up $2,000 a night. Good luck. Man United weren't even playing. Those of you that live in this city and try and get a hotel room where Man United are playing, sometimes we have speakers. We have to check the fixture list to see when we can have a speaker come in. Anyway, it's got nothing to do with a Christmas story. All the doors are shut. So they get taken to this place, the Migdaladia. Then the angels appear to some shepherds that are outside, and they say all this. Glory to God, good news to all men. Tonight in the city of David, a child is born. Emmanuel, God with us. He shall be the Savior. He's the Lamb of God, the Savior, and all that stuff. You shall recognize him because he'll be swaddled up in cloth in a manger. But then the angel didn't tell the shepherds where to look. The reason why is because surrounding Bethlehem was the place where the flocks were looked after, watched by a certain group of royal shepherds, rabbinically pure and clean. These shepherds were the ones that had the one job of raising lambs that would be used as sacrifices in the temple at Passover. That's all they did. And they would take the ewe into the tower of the flock, into one of the stalls, where there would be what they call a manger, and they would help them to give birth to a lamb. Then they would check the lamb to see if it was without spot or blemish. And if it was without spot or blemish, perfect, unique, no crooked leg, wonky ears or anything, then they would swaddle it up and they would separate it. That was the one that is going to be used for the sacrifice coming up in a few months' time at Passover. So when the angel told the shepherds, because have you ever thought, why didn't he go to someone else? Why the shepherds? And we always think that, oh, these poor people, these down and out people, just God wants to use down and out people. No, they were perfect because they were the ones that their one job was to identify the lambs that were going to be used as sacrifices. So the angel didn't tell them where to go. They already knew where he was going to be born because that's where the lambs are born. And when they went there, they saw him and they worshipped. Then they went away and they told everyone else. And that perfect, absolute perfection that he was born. How he was meant to be born, through a virgin's womb with no earthly father. In the place that he was meant to be born, in Bethlehem. In the place where the lambs were born that went on to become sacrifices. Unbelievable. That's good news. And the fact that he was born means that it don't matter where you come from. It don't matter what mistakes you've made. It don't matter what darkness you've been through. It doesn't matter whether you messed up. It don't matter. Because there is a Savior. There is a way. There is a person who can set you free, change your life, change the pattern of your life, change the trajectory of your life, change the reality of your life. That's good news, man. Powerful. God the Son, the one through whom everything was created, appeared as a human to save humanity because humanity couldn't save itself. The way he was intending to do that was by showing the people that he created his love and power. He healed the sick. He put together broken souls and broken lives. And not only did Jesus actually do spiritual miracles of changed hearts, and by far the greatest ever miracle is the miracle of salvation. You go from being an unbeliever in darkness to a believer in light. You go from being destined to go to hell and be burned in the fire for all eternity, according to the scriptures, separated from God, to being accepted in the beloved, to becoming one of the children of God. You give all of your wrongs to Jesus and he gives all of his rights to you. Powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. But he also healed the sick practically. He helped the hurting practically. And then after 33 years of living on earth, Jesus did what he originally came to do as the Lamb of God, and he paid our debt. He paid our bill. You know, sometimes as a Christian, people say, oh, you have to pay the price, man, if you want ministry. If you want to do this, you have to pay the price. You never have to pay the price. All you ever have to do is leave a tip. Jesus paid the price. You ever been out for a meal with someone and you're sitting there ordering the cheap food? Just in case the bill comes and you've got to pay. You've had to go out, you ain't got no money, you don't know what's going to happen, you know, maybe they're guests or something, you think, I've got to pay for this. Have whatever you like, you say, and then, no, I'll just have a lettuce leaf. I'm fine. Yeah, tap water, please. Because you're afraid that when the bill comes, you have to pay the bill. But imagine when the bill comes that the bill has been paid. And then someone says to you, the bill's paid. You're like, wow. They say, just leave a tip. You're like, whoa. You write down on the thing, never eat yellow snow. See, in our lives, we stack up huge debts of bad decisions and neglect for our souls, but by far the biggest debt we owe is to God. But Jesus paid the bill. He died. He was punished in our place so we could receive a fresh start. And he rose again to prove that so could we rise again, have new life, have a new start. Wow. Don't matter what your Christmas has been like before this, there can be a resurrection of joy and hope. If you take the good news, if we put our trust in him to lead us in life and be our savior and friend, he will. That's good news. Then what about good gifts? Gifts have always been part of the Christmas story. Even Jesus got them. Tells you that wise men followed Jesus. They still do, man. How many of you know there are some people in the world that think they're wise and actually become fools? They say that they deny Jesus. They say God is a myth. They tell you that you came from an amoebic soup, that you're a product of chance. Shut up. Ridiculous. But the wise men came and they followed him and they brought him gifts. Gold, frankincense and myrrh. These were symbolic. And what they symbolized was that Jesus was the king, he was the high priest, and he was the sacrificial lamb that would die for the salvation of the earth. But today, the gifts have taken on a new meaning, haven't they? They become expensive. You end up racking up debt. You buy things for people that they don't probably need with money that you ain't got, and they don't even care. My kids, it's like they're like monsters. As soon as they come down, they open up all the presents. They don't even sometimes look at the tag who gave it to them. They go into a frenzy. What's that you got? Oh, I don't know. What's the next one? You know what I mean? So this year they've got oranges in a sock. One at a time, I'm going to bring them out every hour. Eat that one first. They just rip the thing apart. And it's cost us all this money. And you see all your money just... And then you get them something that they've always wanted and they play for it that day and never play with it again. So now... My son's getting to the age where I can buy him gifts that I want. Even my daughter, I'm buying her some concealer and stuff, you know what I mean? Because that's the only way I can use it on my blemishes. Because then I can go into the shop and I can say, yeah, I'd like some concealer, please. Christmas gift. Oh, okay. Yeah. And then the women don't look at you like you're a sap. Wisdom. This is wisdom. Huh? But the best two gifts that you can ever give, two gifts this Christmas that's going to make a difference to everyone you meet, it's love and time. Love and time. You know, the older you get, I'm not bothered what gifts I get. In fact, I've probably bought my own gifts. I bought the things that I want from the kids and my wife and give them to them and they wrap them up. It's no surprise. Whatever. But the older I get, you know what I value most? I value spending time with my kids and my family. I value the people that pop over. Hey, I value speaking to my family. I value going and seeing them after Christmas. I value the time and the love. Love? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Love is the truth of who you are given freely to others. It's being yourself and giving yourself to someone else with no masks, with no limits, with no play acting. Because if a husband and wife are real with each other, I made the mistake once and said to my wife, tell me all the things you don't like about me. So she did. This was early in our marriage when truth wasn't tempered with wisdom. She told me I was crushed, I was mangled, I was broken, I was selfish. When she asked me, tell me all the things you don't like about me, I said, I love you just as you are. Can all the husbands in the place just give me a bounce right now? Boom. We learn wisdom with this stuff. Huh? Love. With love, you're patient. I mean, if you know, at Christmas, we need patience. We don't want to become patients in Salford Royal or the MRI. Some of us have been patients at Christmas. Hello? Huh? There's knives in the kitchen. You don't want to be arguing with your wife in the kitchen on Christmas Day. Stabbed with a carving knife by accident. You're patient with love. Love expands your capacity to put up with difficult people in desperate situations. And at Christmas, how many of you know, we get wrapped up in desperate situations and we're around difficult people. Huh? They're normally the ones coming visiting. With love, you think of ways you're going to love others more than you think of the ways you hope they will love you. It's more about the giving than the receiving. Someone has said, the greatest thing a person can do for his Heavenly Father is to be kind to some of his other children. Then with love, you're happy when they are because they are. Love is about them, not me. It's about you, not I. And love makes other people feel better. It's not just about yourself. That's love. You can give love this Christmas. Huh? Love is courteous. It's not rude. Courtesy says, I will listen. I'm interested in what this person is saying. I value what they think. Are you with me? And real love is when they're talking waffle. Rubbish. Really boring, and you're still there listening. Love is calm, it's not easily provoked, it's not irritable, it's not touchy, it's not easily upset or offended. Love always thinks the best, and it never presumes the worst. Huh? It was the story of the old granddad. And he was old, and his grandchildren were growing up, and so what he decided one Christmas is that they could buy their own gifts. And so he wrote each of them a check, and then he put in their Christmas card to the children, buy your own presents, love granddad. And he gave them out Christmas Day, and he thought that all the children were being a little bit cold and they were a little bit distant from him, and he couldn't understand why. And then when Christmas Day was done, he went home and he sat down in his chair and he opened up his paper and all the checks fell out that he hadn't put in the cards. So all they got was an empty card with buy your own present, love granddad. But if they loved him, they would have presumed that he's just an old forgetful old so-and-so. He really must have done something wrong and forgot it. Don't get offended. Love finds no pleasure in others' failures. Love is a great gift. Give love. And then time. Time is a great gift. If you would ask loved ones or lonely ones or hurting ones or confused ones what they really want from you more than anything else, it'd be your time. So be there. Turn up. Take time. Visit. Be available. Phone them. Text them. FaceTime them. Be engaged and be attentive. Invest the most precious thing that any of us have. The most precious possession you have is not your money, it's not your bank account, your house or your car. It's your time. Because you can't buy it. And you can never get it back. Jesus left eternity to enter time as a baby. He spent 33 years on earth. And now, even though he's not physically present, his enduring promise is that he will be with us until the end of the age. He gives us his time. So, give someone time this Christmas. And then understand that with these two good gifts, it brings joy. And then if you feel this Christmas like you've been locked out of a place, shut out of a place, doors have been shut, that you've had to move from one place to another, that your journey has been different to someone else. Think of Mary, pregnant without a man touching her. Think of Joseph, whose fiancée has got pregnant and he ain't touched her. Think of them leaving their home while she's heavily pregnant to travel 100 kilometres down to another place, to be locked out of all the comfortable places to go and give birth with the animals. But it was the perfect plan of God. And you'll know that you're in the perfect plan when wise men come and invest in you. When other people come and recognize where you're at. So this Christmas, I declare to one and all, let it be merry, let it be bright. There's good news for everyone. If you are alive, if you have breath in your lungs, that's good news. If you can phone someone or get one card or one gift that someone loves you, that's good news. But don't just worry about what you can receive. Give this Christmas and be a blessing. And watch the perfect plan of God unfold in your life. Stand to your feet with me. Lift your hands high and just thank God that you're alive right now. Thank God you're alive. Thank Him you're alive. It's not about what you're going to get. It's not about the money you've had. It's not about what you can give. Just thank God that you've received life, and you have life right now. Some of you, you're out of jail this Christmas. Some of you, you're not going to end up in the hospital drunk this Christmas. Some of you, you're not going to end up messed up, heartbroken, abused this Christmas. You're alive. God has gifted you time. There is good news that Jesus came to save the lost. He came to save sinners, and that's what we were. We were sinners. We went our own way. We made mistakes. We messed up. We didn't do things right. But Jesus was born to give us a new plan, a new life, a new hope, a new future. The greatest present is His presence. Thank Him right now for His presence in your life. That you have the opportunity to become a child of God. That it don't matter where you've been, it matters where you're going, and where you're going is fantastic. It's amazing. It's tremendous. You're going to be with God in eternity. This life then will seem like nothing, just a vapor when you look back. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining like the sun, there's no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. Amazing. Incredible. Because the Lamb of God has been born. Good news. So don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem. Come on, begin to thank Him. Begin to adore Him. Begin to lift Him up. Your life's going to change. Future's better than your past. Tomorrow's going to be better than yesterday. This year is going to be better than last year. The past is history. Tomorrow's a mystery. Today is a gift, and that's why they call it the present. So open it up. Enjoy it. Laugh and sing. Praise the living God. Declare praises. There are people in jail right now would wish that they were where you're at. There are people that are dead right now would wish that they're where you're at. There are people that are nowhere right now that would wish that they're somewhere like this. There are people that have no hope. Come on and adore Him. Merry Christmas, everyone. Let's give praises to the King. Hallelujah. Come on, let's adore Him right now. Let's worship Him right now. Let's glorify Him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
To find out more about us, go to www.vomanchester.org
and feel free to come and visit us every Sunday at our 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. services. See you soon.